Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haibe Akuti Habi Kama Bhojiva Bhojhabha Ye Yugala Priti. When I am eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. The verse that we're going to be discussing this evening from Nectar of Instruction, Upadesh Amrita, is being described as Upadesh Saram. This is the essence of the Amrita of Rupa Goswami's teachings. It has to do with reaching the topmost stages of spiritual practice, devotional practice, through the chanting of the holy name. Those of you that have a copy can look in the book and we'll chant the verse together. And those of you that don't, you can listen. So we'll chant together. Tannama rupa charitari sukirta tanano. Text number 8. We'll start again. Tannama rupa charitari sukirtanano.
Tannama rupa charitari sukirtanano.
Smrityo krameena rasanena manasina yojya.
Smrityo krameena rasana manasina yojya.
Tishtan vrajetar anuragi janur kami.
Tishtan vrajetar anuragi janur kami.
Kalam nayet akilam ityupadesha saram.
Kalam nayet akilam ityupadesha saram.
Translation: the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. This is a very elevated state of consciousness that's being described here. It's taking one from the position of vidhi sadhana bhakti to raganuga sadhana bhakti that we find described in Nectar Devotion. In the purport, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is quoted as saying that this subject matter is for advanced devotees. So if anybody here considers themselves to be ready for Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti, you're in the minority. Most of us are in the position of performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But it's helpful to know the process, just as in Nectar Devotion, we hear about Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti. So here it's being presented in a simple manner. More detail is Nectar Devotion. But the simple manner is here how the chanting of the holy name, just in and of itself, when done properly, can carry one to higher stages of devotion. Prabhupada begins the purport by describing the subtle nature of the mind in transferring the soul from one body to the next body. It has to do with what the mind becomes fixed on at the moment that the soul leaves the body. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first chapter, there's a verse that's describing this process in an interesting way. It gives the example of a grass worm not an earthworm, but a grass worm. A grass worm is being pursued by a bee. So the grass worm hides in a hole. And the bee is coming after the grass worm who's hiding in the hole. So guess what the grass worm is thinking of? The bee. With fear and with envy, the grass worm is thinking of the bee. And he dies. And guess what he becomes in his next life? A bee. Another example, in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada is describing to King Prajinibari about a fictitious king, Puranjana. And Puranjana becomes a attached and doting king, and he dies thinking of his queen. So guess what he becomes in his next life? Becomes a woman. The subtle principle of remembrance at the moment of death, because the mind carries the soul to the next situation, so also the next situation is then determined by the fixation of the mind at the time of death. Now we'll look at an example in this very life, where the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Prabhupada writes about this. Contemplation of the caterpillar. He's moving along the surface of a tree. So very slowly, so many legs moving, and he looks at the butterfly who's flying very freely. So we don't know what the thought process is of a caterpillar, but Prabhupada explains he's thinking, I'd like to fly. As he's thinking he likes to fly, nature makes the arrangement. He enters in a cocoon and he comes out of the cocoon, papa, butterfly. That's in one lifetime, not even a lifetime. According to the contemplation, one develops a particular body. And how do these examples apply to us in our day-to-day life in Krishna consciousness? We learn from Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2 that the body is constantly changing. Thank you. The body is constantly changing, even in our present life. Prabhupada would describe, they say the body is growing. Bhagavad Gita says the body is changing. Growth, more precisely, is change of body, change of body, change of body, change of body, change of body. Every moment change of body. And what that body becomes is determined by the state of mind. Of course, the time element is also there. Our dear friend, time. Karma is also there. Guna is also there. But the mind is also there. And the changes of body are taking place step by step, incrementally, through changes of mind. So if in our life as devotees, presently, if we can think of Krishna, the body configuration changes. What to speak of at the final change of body, which we call death, what the mind is fixed upon determines our next destination. Chanakya Pandit gives a nice lesson in this regard. He describes the mental activity of the materialist and contrasts with the mental activity of the devotee. So the mental activity of the materialist is thinking, I will live forever. And The devotee is thinking, I could die at any moment. Because I could die at any moment, which is true, I should fix up my mind on Krishna now, this moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. Because life is but a series of moments of time. Because I don't know when I'm going to give up this body. And when that moment of death comes, what my mind is fixed upon is going to determine my next destination. And therefore a devotee is thinking, I'm living my life as if today may be the last day. This hour may be the last hour. This moment may be the last moment. This is the thinking. It's not morbid or depressed or something. It's real. And the thinking is therefore towards Krishna, very strongly, very focused. Just as one would become suddenly, if you received word like Maharaj Parikshit, in 7 days, you must die. Well, you'd hurry up and fix your mind on Krishna. But we don't know if we have 7 minutes, 7 seconds. So the devotee takes this seriously and fixes their mind upon Krishna. The verse by Rupa Goswami is giving us the process for doing that, for fixing the mind upon Krishna. So that is tan nama rupa charita sukirtananu smrityoho. We are encouraged to constantly twenty-four hours, Prabhupada. And how do we do that in our sleep? Because part of 24 hours is sleep. Prabhupada explains, if your waking hours are absorbed in devotional service, your dreams will be absorbed in devotional service. The thought process becomes, the mind becomes attracted to the topics of Krishna when there's some taste, and taste will come when there's some purification of consciousness. So even in sleep, but the emphasis is on these two things he introduces, the mind and the tongue. Because the tongue also has to be in sync with Krishna so that the mind can be also fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. If you don't control the tongue, you're not going to control the mind in relation to Krishna. So we're going to speak about these two things, the mind and the tongue. We want to fix the mind upon Krishna. This is the instruction of the verse. To assist us to make that possible, the tongue must be engaged properly. We'll say it first positively. If the tongue, which has these two functions, vibrating, making sound, and the other is tasting, what comes out and what comes in. The two main functions are exclusively in relation to Krishna. It makes it very possible by controlling this sense, the tongue, to control the mind. And conversely, if one eats that which is not offered to Krishna, the mind becomes agitated. And when the mind is agitated, how can it become fixed on anything other than being agitated? Prabhupada was speaking once with a priest and a mother in the Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. And the priest was... But the mother was wanting Prabhupada to tell her son to go back to medical school. And Prabhupada was saying, not needed. Why not, Swamiji? One can serve Krishna in the position of being a doctor. Isn't one can serve God being a doctor? Prabhupada said, yes, we can serve God being a doctor. Then why don't you ask him to go to medical school? He's a bright young boy. Prabhupada said, there's so many doctors. There's so few devotees. And your son is very happy being a devotee. But he can be a devotee doctor. Don't you go to doctors, Swamiji? He said, yes, there's so many doctors. We go to so many doctors. He was not budging. So then the priest was arguing that why does it have to be like this? One can serve God from any position. He said, ask the boy. He had your religion. He gave that up and he's doing this. He said, because now he's able to understand who God is. And then, so he felt challenged and said, well, we know who God is. And then Prabhupada was saying, if you know who God is, why don't you follow what he says? Well, we follow what he says. In the Bible it says, thou shalt not kill. And the man said, aren't you eating? Don't you eat vegetables? And doesn't that mean also killing? And Prabhupada said, by taking the vegetable and offering to Krishna, it becomes Krishna prasad. And he told the priest, those people who eat meat, they cannot understand God because their minds are too agitated from that violent act of killing the animal. Their minds cannot understand, the soul cannot understand God. It's not possible. Right to the priest. The priest was ready to get up and leave. Prabhupada was very direct. We shouldn't imitate. We may want to be more diplomatic. I'm just giving this example to show what the tongue is engaged in may make it impossible for the mind to be fixed on the platform of spirit. I want to emphasize one more time about taking only Krishna prasad. Brahmachari life is very nice. It's very easy to follow this principle because everything is already offered to Krishna. Except brahmacharis also, for their preaching, they go into places where it's not Krishna prasad, it's all kinds of other things. So the training for the brahmachari is, it's not even something that should enter the mind to think of something that's not offered to Krishna, because it's not offered to Krishna. If the mind starts to entertain the thought of, oh, that might be something very nice, it smells good, it looks good, you're halfway there to violate the principle of contaminating the mind. So brahmachari should be very careful not to do that. Householders, due to household life, you have a greater challenge. I've had many discussions with householders who, through their work situation, it's difficult, they say. But the difficulty is more in the mind than it is in the circumstance. Because even in America, I would imagine it's so here in India. If you're a person of principle, when it comes to business situations or work situations, even as a, you know, officer or a salesperson, so you're in a social circumstance or some function, you just don't take what's there at that function, or you bring your own. And people may think, what's with this person? And then they have to process it, that this is a person who's disciplined. I'll just share from my experience as a sannyasi, because so I travel. And it's a common thing in flights in India. They don't do this in America. But in India, they come down the aisle with their cart and say, veg or non-veg? And my answer is, oh, thank you. And they look at me like, you know what? I said, I'll take some water. And on the flight over this way, because I had an early morning flight from Delhi, and it was a half-day fast because of Dvaitacharya's appearance day, so I had this little thing of prasadam with me. And I took out my little thing, little containers, and the guy next to me was going, whoa, look at that dosha, look at that. This prasad and that prasad, and I was, you know, he was more interested in what was on my little thing than his. So I started offering him, would you like a dosa? Would you like a samosa? Oh, thank you. And people respect that. Of course, certainly for a sannyasi, they have that particular expectation that you're particular. You're inflexible about your eating habits. But a Vaishnava is also very strict in their eating habits. People just come to understand this person is very strict about their eating habits. And so be it. And why do we do that? Not because of fanaticism or looking down at other people. We want to follow Rupa Goswami. We want to control the tongue, both its vibrating and its tasting, so the mind can be freed and pure and fixed upon Krishna. In Nectar of Devotion, we have so many do's and do nots. There are regulations in bhakti, and there are prohibitions. Rupa Goswami then summarizes, there's one instruction that takes care of all the vidhis of vidhi, sadhana, vaivi, sadhana bhakti. And that is always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnur, Vishnu, smartavya najata chit. We should always remember Vishnu in all circumstances and never forget him. This is the essence of all vidhis. So there's this covers the vidhi sadhana bhakti, and the last section of the purport covers the raga nuga sadhana bhakti. The meaner of the purport is this raga nuga sadhana bhakti. Kuryat vasam praje sada. One becomes a follower of the vraja vasis, the eternal residence of Vrindavan. Still continuing the process of hearing and chanting, very nicely done. But a very important ingredient is added, that is the constant remembrance of Krishna through the medium of one of the perfected souls, the Ragatmika personalities, eternally situated in the spiritual realm, and one meditates on their service unto Krishna, internal meditation of them and their service unto Krishna, while one continues one's Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Bhakti Siddhanta goes on to explain, for those that are in the neophyte stage, that's us, we're not in this very elevated stage, not yet. So in the neophyte stage, what's recommended? He writes, giving up all material motives. Very simple, right? Just give up all material motives. That's a big one. All material motives. The neophyte stage. So if you feel that you have accomplished that, you're ready for the next stage. If you haven't accomplished that, stay in the first stage. Don't imitate those that are in the higher stage. Give up all material motives. And following the regular principles, chant, hear, remember, engage in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Next, one develops a taste for the chanting of the holy name. The taste for the chanting of the holy name is marked by the absence of falling asleep or inattentiveness of the mind, or the wandering of the mind, or attraction for the for anything material, because material desires have been given up, but a eagerness to continuously chant the holy name with great happiness. When that taste is reached, then one can consider this stage that's being described, this raga anuga sadhana bhakti. Bhaktisiddhanta further views these stages in this way. He gives four stages with subsets of them. The first is shravana dasha. Shravana dasha is marked by what we're engaged in regularly, is hearing about Krishna, hearing the holy name, taking part in kirtan, hearing. Shravana dasha. The next stage is varana dasha. That's acceptance. When there's acceptance, this is the stage where there's taste. Just like the others, the nine processes of bhakti, another frame of reference. Adau Shraddha. So Shraddha to Premha, those nine stages. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, taste. So Vasana. So that means we're beyond the eradication of Anarthas. Practically gone. Almost destroyed. Nashta Prayeshu. Almost gone. Then there's steadiness. Then there's taste. So that's Vasana. Now we're ready for the next two. What comes next? As Bhaktisiddhanta describes, remembrance up to the stage of constant remembrance up to the stage of samadhi, where the remembrance is fueled by ecstasy, spiritual joy, jubilation of the heart. Spontaneously, one's heart is recalling the name and qualities and pastimes of Krishna. Up until, as he describes, at intervals of time, sometimes and then sometimes elapse, and sometimes elapse until it becomes continuous, until it becomes a state of trance. That's in this remembrance third stage. The final stage, sampati dasha, is perfection, where one goes back to Godhead. And going back to Godhead is not something later on. Going back to Godhead can be in our present embodiment. And go back to Godhead, it means being absorbed in thought of Krishna in great spiritual happiness, uninterrupted spiritual ecstasy. That's the final stage. In conclusion of this verse and Bhaktisiddhanta's explanation, there's something that the primary something that's standing in our way presently of achieving that taste in the holy name is the motivated desires, in his language, motivated desires. Desiring separate from Krishna means self-motivated, mistaken direction of life while we're still chanting the holy name. So the taste is not there. So the striving at our present stage, but it's nice to know, from striving to overcome the material attraction that we have, there's a science of how the unfolding and the blossoming of the creeper will take place. It's very predictable, very sensible, and it's a spiritual science which Rupa Goswami is giving us in this verse. Hare Krishna. Any discussion? We're 1 hour into our class. It's not on topic. If somebody asks a question, I'll ask. Anything from our subject here? I have one that's not. Any questions in relation to the subject for this evening? How can one
overcome the lethargy in strength?
Overcome which? Didachi?
Lethargy.
Okay, lethargy. It's lethargic, but it's lethargy. Okay. Utsahan. Bhakti, in simple words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Bhakti Loka, very nice book. It's describing the six and the six, the six that enhance and the six that destroy bhakti. So the first one is Utsahan. And he summarizes by saying, you cannot have nor sustain real enthusiasm without a spiritual conception. The material conception is passion that looks like enthusiasm. Passion is not sustaining. Look at the world's economy. It's collapsing because it was built on passion. And it collapses. So, fruitive ambition directed towards bhakti is not going to endure. And on the other side, if we have material conceptions or material ambitions, how is bhakti going to attract us? Like chanting. What's fruitive about chanting? From a fruitive person, you're wasting time. You could be getting something done. You could be getting money or spending money, getting happiness, making plans for material happiness. But chanting doesn't have anything to do with that. It's non-fruitive. So how you can get over lethargy for chanting? By having a spiritual conception of myself, the goal of my life, and the process to reach that goal. So much time is spent in Bhagavad Gita commentary and Krishna speaking also. What's the first thing that Krishna says to Arjuna? One needs to properly understand the self before you can understand the duty of the self. Who are you? Then you can think about what I should do. So spiritualizing our conceptions includes challenging and discarding material conceptions. Sarva Padi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvina Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. So devotional service requires some training, fundamental training in spiritual conception. And then comes the challenge of applying that spiritual conception when you're doing things in the world. Because when you're doing things in the world, we're accustomed to carrying material conceptions. In other words, we shouldn't just be armchair bhaktas. We sit in the class and we go, yes. And we leave the class and we do something else. So the challenge in overcoming lethargy is largely our material conceptions. And attached to material conceptions is fruitive mentality. I have lethargy for something that's going to bring me some material fruits. That's our conditioning. But we have a spiritual conception, we can be very enthusiastic. you get a taste, you can be uncontrollably enthusiastic. It looks like passion when there's a taste for devotional service. The devotee is go, 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 nonstop, happy for Krishna. Another method besides living in the brahmacharya ashram? Is that what you meant? That's a good method. But you want another method?
Because, okay,
you do the translation of the question. Was Arjuna a brahmachari in the ashram or was he grihastha? Okay. And what was his obstacle? He had material motivations. What did Krishna say? Krishna didn't say, Arjuna, give up being a householder. Go live in the brahmacharya ashram and that's the method. Is that what Krishna said? No, that isn't what he said. What did Krishna say? And it applies to your question. What did Krishna say? You perform your prescribed duty. So, perform your... This is how to. Perform your prescribed duty. And the results, offer to Krishna. That's karma yoga. That's not yet bhakti. Perform your prescribed duty. Offer the results to Krishna. You give it to the brahmacharis. They say, thank you very much, here's a receipt. And then they use in the worship of the deity. They're not living luxuriously. They're serving the deity in the mission, distributing books, printing books. They're doing brahmachari things. You're a grihastha. If you are a grihastha, you do like that. That's very nice. But you can go even further. You go to the office and you're sitting down in the office because you did nice sadhana, chanting the holy name very nicely at your home. Then you go to the office and you're thinking, this man up here, he thinks I'm working for him, but I'm working for Krishna. I'm Krishna's devotee inside and outside. I'm Krishna's devotee. I'm going to do my work in the workplace for Krishna. That means certain things. I'm not going to eat certain things. I'm not going to speak certain things. I'm not going to do certain things. The things that I do, I do for Krishna. There's the prohibitions and the injunctions, and I do them for Krishna. Now, as a neophyte sitting in the workplace, I may not fully realize how to do that. But you practice. You practice. You're working not just with detachment from the fruits because you gave it to the brahmacharis, but you're working for Krishna in the workplace. And you grow that consciousness by nice sadhana and attending the classes, worshipping the, you know, following the process of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti very nicely. And in that incubation chamber, your devotion for Krishna, your thought of Krishna will grow, like Arjuna. He was out in the battlefield fighting for life, and you're just sitting in your office, you know, sitting at a computer or whatever you're doing. It's not as challenging as what Arjuna was doing. You got it easy. Not easy, but, you know, compared to Arjuna. But the issue is your consciousness. Where is your consciousness? Work for Krishna. yad karoshi, yad asnasi, yad shahosi, didasi, yad yatapasyasi kantaya. Tat karosho madharpanam. And that's also karma yoga. Then it's everything for Krishna. Grow with the process of hearing and chanting as the nurturing chamber for your bhakti bija, bhakti lata bija. You're growing even in the workplace. Yes. Is that okay? Okay. Sir? Hare Krishna. You had a question?
Offering chest, sir.
Follow the demigods there. For other demigods, offering the navedas with tulsi.
Whether we have to take it or not.
Just come to the temple and take Krishna prasad and be happy. Yeah, the grass worm. Yeah. Does it mean if he dies as the householder?
No.
The brahmachari? Okay. If this young brahmachari dies, is he going to go back to Godhead? Is that what you want to know?
Yes. Or will he
be
Maya in his next life?
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay. You want to say it in Telugu so they'll all get a chuckle in Telugu? Let me ask you a question. Is the household of the bumblebee, who's after the grassworm, and he dies and he becomes a grassworm? The answer is both the householder and the grahastha should become very much concerned about material desire and material motivation. But that's incomplete, according to Rupa Goswami's teaching. If one is absorbed in trying to give up those things, instead of seeing how those things can be appropriately engaged in Krishna's service, then his renunciation is incomplete. Rather, the strength of the brahmachari is his, the sacrifice for the brahmachari is the sacrifice of the hearing process. Because continuously hearing about Krishna while keeping material desires over there, or eliminating them by the process of hearing, their consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, and so they go to Krishna. But the householder too. The householder is involved by necessity. You have to earn. You have to have money. You have to have home. You have to have things to take care of family. That's household life. One would be irresponsible if didn't. Now I have to be careful in another way. I'm the grass worm in another way. I have to be more careful in another way. But how do I protect myself? By hearing and chanting nicely about Krishna. Then I can see these things as not fulfillment of material desire that I have a license for now, but as a way of serving Krishna. If the spirit of taking on the responsibility of household life is in the spirit of serving Krishna, then one gets release from the problem of being attacked by material desire. We're both grass worms, yeah? Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Rupa Goswami ki
jai. Izolnyasu Prabhupada Maharaj ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanand.